E2, number 21B.
No chance, say, of producing anything good. Or a third example, I was at the beginning very patient and tried to take in a few examples, not just one. So I went all over again just to give you the same rhythm, the same law. Again, mind constantly floods the whole universe. I tried to change the wording, but keeping the tone so that the student would get used that you can change terms and still keep tones. If I say it's constantly coming, or if I say it's constantly manifesting, or if I say it's constantly flooding, it all means the same thing. It is God coming to man. It's the same element, the first element of the Christ. So mind constantly floods the whole universe with what? An idea of mind with divine power and action. So I've taken that characteristic of mind. Mind is characterized by power and action. Therefore, again, the last element, the horizontal, willpower, you see, that's a counterfeit of divine power. Therefore, willpower has no chance of bringing about a divine manifestation. Cannot bring forth something good. Could you hear the tone? Could you hear that I'm very stereotyped? That's what the law is. A law is so stereotyped that you can't change it. If you could change the law, it would no more be a law. And the law has definite elements, and if we would change those elements, would drop one or would take another one in, it would change the law again. So the main thing is to find out what are the elements of a law and then know how to stay with that law and still vary it infinitely. You see that? So I have taken here three examples of mind. Actually, we could have taken other examples in order to explain it. The main thing is what I want to draw your attention to, that here we are educated into a law and no more into beautiful statements. This is the big paradigm. This is the new paradigm. All right. Let's take another synonymous term. Let's take spirit, the next one, and see if we still stick to that law. Instead of taking mind, I take now spirit, and instead of just taking the synonymous term spirit, I elaborate on that and take various ideas characterizing spirit. And so the rhythm, the flow is still the same. God's spirit is constantly expressing himself. See, again, I took another term, expressing himself. God constantly coming, it's the same thing. It's a Christ. And now the ideas of spirit are what? As infinite substance, infinite development, and unfoldment. We know, if we know our synonymous terms, we know that these are ideas of spirit, and therefore good. Or, I doubled it up before I showed the other, the horizontal. Spirit is constantly flooding the universe, again, the Christ, with the fruits of spirit, the infinite blessing of good, and now comes the horizontal. Therefore, now I take the opposite of spirit as a cause, therefore matter can never bring forth successfully true development and true fruits. Can you see, I have now taken a cause that is the opposite of spirit and shown that an opposite of spirit cannot bring forth anything good in spirit. Or the next one is also one that I doubled up at the beginning to enrich the first flow. Spirit constantly translates itself. See, I choose another term, then comes or floods or manifests, I said, translates itself to. It's again God coming to. That's the first element, the Christ, to man and the universe as what? Again, as idea of spirit, only reality, as a purity of spiritual qualities. Do you hear the ideas of spirit? And then I doubled it up. Spirit constantly floods the universe with the infinitely diversified reflection, the reflection of spirit, with faculties of good, again ideas of spirit, with spiritual conception and spiritual birth. So I took quite a few ideas of spirit that are coming to us. And then comes the horizontal, therefore materiality, the counterfeit of spirit, has no chance of conceiving anything real, cannot do anything good. Yeah. Do you get the rhythm of it? Perhaps let's take love, the last one on page 43, and still see if we are still in the same law, in that law of cause and effect. In love, I wrote, God, love, is constantly bestowing. Can you see? I took a new term, bestowing, which is the same thing as God coming to me. There's a love tone in it. Is constantly bestowing on his universe now the ideas of love, infinite fulfillment, peace, rest. See? These are ideas of love, if we know the synonymous terms. Therefore, now you get the horizontal, therefore a human sense of love, that's the counterfeit of love, can never succeed in attaining universal salvation. Has no good effect, has no success. The next is love constantly imparts to everyone. Can you see, again I took another term for showing the flow from God to man and the universe. Imparting, huh, is another kind. So only these few ones I have taken. It's constantly coming, it's constantly translating, it's constantly manifesting, it's constantly flooding, it's constantly bestowing, it's constantly imparting. Can you see, these tones have all one common tone, the flow from God to man, that big first Christ element. Where have I been? Yeah. Love constantly imparts to everyone, again an idea of love, the impartial motherhood of love, the infinite design of love, the assurance and comfort of love. I just took another three ideas of love, and now the horizontal. Therefore, any sense of human planning, see, the counterfeit of the plane of love is human planning. So I take a cause outside of love. Therefore, any sense of human planning, care, and motherhood can never succeed in bestowing true fulfillment. Can never succeed. Cannot bring forth a good effect. Did you see what I wrote? Did you see that I did not write nice inspirational statements? That I tried to write science and to depict science, laws, but the sense you can convey with it when you are in command of the system of reference, of the categories, that a single law like this, the Christ, word as word, can be elaborated infinitely in order to free oneself from the belief that there is any other cause that also could work and also could do something good. That one really has the feeling, all right, you have to rely on one thing that's going on, namely that only that which comes from the synonymous term right down to the whole universe and comes and floods and translates itself down to the universe as those ideas of the seven synonymous terms, they alone bring forth something good, something constructive. Every other cause cannot bring forth something constructive. There's no use to try it out anyway. So I can go through that law. Can you see that you can sit back and spend a quarter of an hour only on this law? And every time you go through it, if you are a master in the ideas of the seventh synonymous term, you just can go through it for a quarter of an hour and half an hour, just for one law and bringing it really home to one's consciousness, that divine law. Then you use the health of science and not the health of mysticism for bringing forth a round, big, strong law and treatment that will cover practically the whole realm. Yes. You also can see that going through these laws and going through all of them through the book, you will get a very good sense of the synonymous terms, because I think I varied as often as I could the ideas that I would use. And once a student of mine has gone through it and has written them out, he felt that's a good way of learning the seven synonymous terms, the ideas of seven synonymous terms. And I think he told me that I got from every of the synonymous terms about a list of 100 ideas and counterfeits. So also in this way you can use them in culturing the tone of the seven synonymous terms. Naturally, at the beginning, you see, you will feel that this is intellectual, that it is a kind of routine, a kind of cold, stereotyped way. Why? Only because one is not yet used to think in laws, to stick to the discipline of a law. Though the Bible and the textbook always says God only works according to law, something within us says, no, I don't want. I want inspiration and that flippy-floppy thing going on. I don't want the discipline of a science. But we want to be scientists, because that is a good thing to the outward world, to say, I'm a scientist, but not to think scientifically. This is an inadequacy, and I feel that inadequacy, that inward contradiction, has been the cause why that whole movement just goes down, saying we are scientists and the others are erroneous scientists, and then not be willing to think and investigate according to science. This is a contradiction. Naturally. And I promise everyone, I go through the fire, you can cut my head off. I promise you that if somebody takes that time and the quietude and knows those seven synonymous terms and goes through these laws for 3 months, he will be a different person. I promise that he feels that he is master in the world, that he has dominion. I know it, but you have to do it. And in doing it, because this is the Christ matrix, you have to be willing to go through hell, because that's the Christ matrix. The Christ matrix says, and then I come and enforce a translation within you. And if you resist that translation, I give you hell. That's what the prophets were telling to the Israelites. And said, because you are a stiff-necked nation and don't want to bend your head, you will go through the captivity. God will take away everything that needs to be taken away so that you can find your salvation. That's another point. But if we go and take these laws consciously and love them, and therefore love to lay down the false concept, then we are different. Then we go through science instead of suffering on our way and progress. And then we handle evil. There is no better way of handling evil than through these laws. And if we handle evil, we not only handle evil, then we establish the Christ idea within us. Then the child will be born. That's why Mr. Dolly always said, when one was asking the question, said, but John, why do you think that you and not the others, great, also great teachers and practitioners and I don't know what, have been able to see the science that is embedded in the textbook. Everybody read the textbook. Why did you see it and not the others? There are millions who read it. And he always gave us an answer. He said, I handle animal magnetism, I handle evil every day. And if we do that in this scientific way, you will see that this enables us to clear out from our consciousness so much of false conception, of fundamental latent subconscious error, that really the true idea that lies latent within each one of us can really be brought forth in Micah. That we really feel, is there no king in you? Is there no counselor in you? And the promise, and you will bring forth and you will give birth to the Prince of Peace. So don't think that those laws, though at the beginning, will be stereotyped to your consciousness, will be literal to the consciousness, that after a while, when you get into the rhythm of it, that they will not become warm, very warm, but not softly warm, strong. It's very strong, and yet tender, flexible, adaptable. And something within one's consciousness is then able to detect always fundamental problems, fundamental evil, fundamental claims of evil, because those six in just cover the whole field of evil. So at the beginning it may be more in a literal way, and that's good. Don't hesitate first to go through those laws actually in a literal way. Just as when somebody tries to learn to play the piano, he just has to watch every finger as he puts it on the keys, and he's concerned that he puts down the right finger and he hardly listens to what he plays, he's just so concerned. But after a while this becomes a reflex motion, and one doesn't think anymore really of the details. One just hears that law going on. Let me take another law just to show how different these laws are and what very different propositions they tackle. Let me see what we could take. One of the nice ones, well, I was talking about Jonah, for instance, now about Nahum. Huh? I was always talking, let's take Nahum because I like to resurrect him from oblivion. He's on page 105. Page 105. There, on top, let's first state the law. Do you see where I am? Again, Roman 1 really includes two elements, namely God constantly comes. You see, it's again the Christ matrix, the Christ coming. But it comes to human consciousness. Now, it is at the point of Christianity. You see, it's Christianity as the word. Comes now to that point of Christianity, of the preservation of the idea to the human consciousness to do something. What? In the horizontal says that the purpose is defined, namely that it wants to preserve in consciousness the right idea, and in order to do that, you have the second one, it refutes the belief that error can in any way defy and rebut the supremacy of God. Can you see, it's another law. It doesn't say now that a belief of error is that it can also achieve something good. Here the belief is that error can rebut the supremacy of God. See, take Take this as that law which says a situation cannot be healed. It's an incurable situation where error says, I'm mightier than God. And so all these elaboration of that law show us forth why it is impossible and denies and rebuts and refutes the belief within us that something can be bigger than the work of God. For instance, mind, we can see that the divine mind is constantly coming, that's the Christ, to human consciousness as the only power and law, as the idea. Idea of power, idea of law of mind. And then the horizontal comes and says, refuting the belief that error has law and power of its own, and that these laws and this power are greater than the law and power of God. Can you see? It's the belief that, say, that a physical law, a health law, a corporeal law, a material law, a legal law can say, I'm much bigger than the law of God. That the law of disease says, the law of death says, I'm much bigger than the law of health or the law of life. So in order to counteract that consciousness, that false consciousness, you just can go right through all the seven synonymous terms, always with one view, namely to see that an error, the opposite of God, can never be greater, mightier than God, can never overcome God's coming to man, can never hinder God's coming to man, can never refute God's coming to man. That is just helpless. That one has to ingrain in one's consciousness that there is no power in anything outside of God which is bigger than God. You see, that's the law. See that it is different than in Hosea. In Hosea said, something outside of God, you see, has the argument that it can also do something good. Here it's something completely different.